أسباب افتتاح بركة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين. هذا we continue with we finished الفاتحة. I would say the first layer of meanings or the two second the two first layers of meaning of سورة الفاتحة we have covered. Does not mean that there are no deeper meanings, and this refers to the surprising narration we find at the beginning of Tabari. Let me check the narration and give you some isnads and so on, so we are not talking in the empty space. Okay, not minimize, you cannot minimize the zoom, but we can go to this one. It is in, I made it in a file called the Quran Zahar wa Batn. The Quran has an external or apparent meaning and the deeper internal meanings, which sound sometimes for the first sight like what some Sufi and some people or who rely on metaphorical explanation may indulge in, and seems to be for people who are like more like from Al-Hadith and Salafi persuasion, a little bit shocking. But the reality is that is much deeper than that. It goes back to the Prophet ﷺ, or at least Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and most like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, him being in the background, you know, shepherd in the outskirts of Mecca, from Hudayl, never attended any philosophical school or any sophisticated learning. Could not have been possibly said that except by taking it from Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, maybe in various occasions, various sentences, but ultimately he put it together maybe in that wording, but the various sentences there cannot be possibly coming from anybody else except from Prophet. And the hadith sound the following, it made it in Arabic, is in Tafsir al-Tabari. It says, حدثنا محمد بن حميد الرازي قال حدثنا جرير بن عبد الحميد عن مغيرة عن واصل بن حيان عما ذكره وعن أبي الأحواص عن عبد الله بن مسعود قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنزل القرآن سبعة أحرف لكل حرف منها ظهر وبطن ولكل حرف حد ولكل حد مطلع أو لكل آية حد. This is I will just keep the isnad. Isnad is except as Muhammad bin Hamid al-Razi is questionable, but it comes from another channel which al-Razi is not mentioned. And also there's a man missing here in Al-Wasil bin Hayyan Amman Hadakarahu. In other isnad, this unnamed man is known and is also thika. So this is a good isnad. And the text, the most important said the first phrase, we know Unzil Quran ala sabati ahruf. Quran has been revealed in seven ahruf, or seven letters, or seven variations. We discussed that earlier, and with the problems related to that. لكل حرف منها ظهر وبطن. For each حرف, the حرف doesn't mean it's an alphabetic letter. Could be maybe a word, because Prophet said in another occasion, if you will come to, if you read the Quran, you have for every حرف حسنة. I don't say alif lamim is a حرف. All the Arabs may call the word حرف, but alif on حرف, ولام on حرف, ومن حرف. We'll come to that. ظهر وبطن. ظهر is an apparent meaning and بطن عادي. ولكل حرف حد ولكل حد مطلع. And there's another issue say ولكل آية ولكل آية حد ولكل حد مطلع. For every ayah there's a boundary and every boundary has an outlook point. You know, sometimes we are going roaming in the countryside, you find a sign saying this is a viewpoint. So you go up a hill, you have a viewpoint, you can see a panoramic view of the area. That's مطلع or مطلع. Another narration of that, it says really actually في كل آية, and it says ولكل بطن بطن إلى سبعة أبطن. For its internal meaning, another internal meaning up to a seven, which this is not necessarily the number seven as we have discussed, but quite a number of deeper layers of meanings. So this is, and there's a better isnad is in Tabarani. Let me read it for those who are interested in isnad. حدثنا محمد بن يحيى الحلواني قال حدث الفيض بن وثيق الثقفي قال حدث جرير بن عبد الحميد عن مغيرة بن قصر الضبي عن واصل بن حيان عن عبد الله بن أبي الهذيل. عبد الله بن الهذيل was not mentioned in the previous isnad. عن أبي الأحوص عن عبد الله بن مسعود قال قال رسول الله, the same in a longer narration. He added another sentence, لو كنت متخذا خليلا لاتخذت أبو بكر خليلا ولكن صاحب خليل الله. If I would have adopt a close friend or a close ally, I would adopt Abu Bakr, but your myself, meaning himself, your companion, meaning himself, is the darling or the friend of Allah. So this does not allow me to have further Khalil except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another wording. So it seems to be the original statement of Mas'ud is a bit longer than that. A better one, جاء في تفسير البغوي, a better one wording in the Quran, أنزل على سبعة حروف لكل آية, for every آية, not for every حرف, which makes better sense. لكل آية منه ظهر وبطن ولكل حد مطلع. This is so and that various narrations on. I have a discussion here, a lengthy discussion of isnad and various wording and so on. And then it seems to be that there's another narration say, ولكل بطن بطن إلى سبعة أبطن, for every internal meaning, another internal meaning up to seven in depth, in levels. So this is not that's not a Sufi imagination or ascetic going into extremes of asceticism and things like that with a metaphoric inflation. No, it is genuinely narrated, at least from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And the way it is, the narration is, because quite a number of first-class narration with the best isnad, they stop at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. But there's a good narration also with the excellent isnad, they go up to the Prophet, which is understandable because these sentences are clearly not, Ibn Mas'ud could not be possible to do that by ijtihad. But maybe he put the various sentences from various occasions and just said it without mentioning the Prophet because he was known to be very cautious mentioning anything to the Prophet. And secondly, because the Prophet did not say it in the same session or the same breath or situation, but various independent sentences, and he put them together for maybe in a teaching class or something like that. So the setting together in that form is from Ibn Mas'ud, but this several sentences must be essentially concluded with our Prophet and there's no likelihood that it will be fabricated or because this will really contradict the early generation's understanding and simple-mindedness. It's a deeper meaning which is unlikely to be fabricated, nor it serves any political reasoning like the reasoning of Bani Umayyah. So you could say they have fabricated that. They were busy fabricating things about obeying the rulers, not fighting the rulers, and things like that. That's what they were skilled at fabricating too, and fabricating things, I guess, Ali ibn Abi Talib and things like that. But they were not very much concerned about deeper meaning of the Quran. They were concerned about power and controlling power and usurping the treasury and swallowing it and consuming it in their bellies. So that's not the area where they would really put any weight to fabricate or their follower to fabricate. So it looks, with all the supporting evidences, it was genuine, at least one person would, and most likely the single pieces and sentences coming from the Prophet. So that's it. So it is Ibn Hazm did not get all these asanid. He got only the narration from Hassan al-Basri saying the same thing essentially, but as Hassan al-Basri stated, as Mursal. And he said Mursalat al-Hassan al-Basri are very weak and so on, and he's right. But in that case, we know it's not Mursal al-Hassan al-Basri. It is really taking from various sources going to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and so on. So as a matter of principle, yes, if it would have been only the Mursala of Hassan al-Basri, we could doubt, because Hassan al-Basri used to be very, very easygoing with the shuyukh and take from them whatever. Say he was way too trusting. And he was criticized by Muhammad ibn Sirin for that. But that is not one of them. So, and then he, because Ibn Hazm is being an extreme literalist, he does not believe in Dhahr and Batn and so on. Say this is all nonsense. But clearly this hadith and the nature of the Quran shows clearly that he is wrong. That's one of his bad ijtihads. So that's concerning the position of Abu Muhammad Ali ibn Hazm al-Andalusi about this is a wrong position based on the wrong assumption that this hadith is just a mursala of al-Hasan al-Basri. It's not. It is narrated with quite a number of good isnads, excellent narrators, which if Ibn Hazm would have seen it, he would be quite surprised. But he did not see them. He could not. He did not have access to them. And this is both in Tabarani and Tafsir al-Baghawi and so on. So there are more deeper and hidden meanings and things in the Quran to be considered. And al-Fatiha has several of those. Some of them in the numerical coincidences, which we did not address very much. We just mentioned just headlines of numerical coincidences, but more will come, inshallah, as needed. because it's not mainly about Tafsir Quran, the meaning, not the evidences. The numerical, the interesting aspect of the numerical coincidences is that they prove the divine nature of the Quran, that it's impossible for any human being, especially since there's no way to conclude that with any tools or means available at the time of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or even after that, even until now. Because for that, you need really mathematical tools and computers to do that job. It's rather almost inconceivable to be done otherwise. So it is part of the hidden meanings, so Tabat al-Batn, maybe a second or third Batn, we don't know how deep that goes. And it is part worked in the text of the Quran physically, as you put your hand in it and see it in written. But we say the Quran is essentially written, and the pronunciation is secondary. Although it is still a Quran, but the pronunciation is secondary. It is that what's written in the script, the original script, in the Mus'haf of Abu Bakr and Uthman, that old script, is that the binding one. And that we mentioned examples for that, like Bism written in the Fatiha, in the Basmala, without Alif, and all over, and otherwise, you know, all the Quran with Alif, Bism, Bism, Ba, Alif, Sin, Mim, in all the Quran in 19 places. And that 19 places came out of it because one place, which is not in a Basmala and so on, in Surah Hud, is written without Alif. If it had been written with an Alif, it would have spoiled the number 19, which again, a strong evidence that the number 19 having important relevance for the Quran and the miraculous nature. Yes, Dr. Rashad Khalifa went overboard and fabricated things and so on, but does not mean that the basic detection, that he detected the basic, is wrong. Oh, his problem is that he went overboard and became just obsessed with the number 19 to the extreme, in the, that he even fixed the things incorrectly. But this should be done in a separate channel of discussion, not in the tafsir, maybe in a study or a halaqa about the miraculous counting and nature of the Quran, or a writing before that, because still there are some attempts and some theories and so on, which need to be verified and checked. So so we did the Fatiha, we did, I would say we did essentially only the Dhahar, the apparent meaning, and maybe we went a little bit in the bottom, a little bit. But we did not go all the way down to seven level. And I don't think anyone would be able, maybe there we have to wait for information and scientific detection of the future to advance to that level. So that is a concern here. Now let's go to Surah Al-Baqarah, first, the second surah in the Quran. The Fatiha is the opening, the first one. Al-Baqarah is a Madani surah, first of all, in Medina, all of it essentially. Yeah, all of it, without exception. And it's quite early in Medina, because the discussion with the Jews and all the issues there and back and forth, see, it shows clearly it must be very early. But it's not the first one in Medina, as some people may think. The first one in Medina, or possibly even on the way to Medina, is most like a Surah Al-Hajj, in which the permission to fight was given. That was before that. Also, a portion of Surah Muhammad must be before that, because there's the judgment about فَإِذَا لَقِيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَضَرْبَ الرِّقَابِ If you mean that they disbelieve, then strike their neck. And if you have committed a massacre in the land, or you have subdued them completely, then you can take prisoners, and then after that, either exchanging them or freeing them for no exchange. فَإِمَّا مَنَّا بَعْدُ وَإِمَّا either give them for free as a courtesy, or exchange them, fida, except for money or for other prisoners for Muslims on the other side. Anyway, so Al-Fatiha, but Fatiha is quite early, one of the first surah in Medina, and that's clear from the text of issues, like for example, the issue of changing Al-Qibla, which will come later, that has happened quite early. I think before Badr, but we'll check it when we get this fine historic point. Because initially it was the Qibla, the Masjid was built with the Qibla towards the north, towards Bayt al-Maqdis. And then when the Sheikh Qibla changed, then it was turned. Essentially, the people turned because the masjid facing south, straight south, will be facing Al-Kaaba directly. Straight north will be facing Bayt al-Maqdis relatively accurately, but not very accurate. But facing south will be facing Al-Makkah at least quite accurately. And we come also with the accuracy of the Qibla and one miraculous feature of the Masjid of Sana'a, which has been built around by a certain order, making it really one of the strong evidences of prophethood, because the Masjid exists until now, and the initial building and the initial pillars are there, some of them, and the extensions are there, and some even the oldest masahib were found in the storage space of the masjid recently, and were carbon dated and so on. It's a very interesting aspect for the evidences of prophethood. This is extra Quranic evidences of prophethood. We focus on the internal Quranic evidences of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet Muhammad. So Al-Baqarah starts with the strange three letters, Alif, Lam, Mim, and that's the way it's pronounced. It's not Alam, it is Alif, Lam, Mim. ذلك الكتاب, that book. لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. You can stop there. You can say Alif, Lam, Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب. Stop there. فيه هدى للمتقين. So فيه belongs to the second lesson. In it, there's guidance for the متقين. Or you can say ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. That book, there's no doubt in it. It is هدى للمتقين. Both readings are possible. You know, just by stopping and separating the words in two sentences, everyone gives and both are intended, and both in the, if it's from Allah, then Allah is capable of intending hundreds of meaning, a thousand of meaning in the same sentence, and thousands of separation. Each one gives a flavor, and the scholars were discussing why is the dalika pointing to the faraway, not this. This is in Arabic pointing to someone absent is a form of respect. For example, when Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was arguing for judging the situation of Bani Qurayza, say, my judgment will be valid in this place, pointing to the place of ourselves out of respect in that place, pointing without looking there. So he's not looking, not pointing to it, but as if it's absent. In many languages, also using the absent, the plural, is a sign of respect. Like in German, you address someone you don't know with Z, whom, they. Although not they, they're present in front of you. While addressing kings would be you, in the plural, because the king is supposed to be respected, but in another way, you are close to the king and belong to him in a certain way. Not like someone foreign you don't know, but you want to respect. But this is the German style of respect. And some other languages have other types of style of respect. So this is a debate. But what did this Alif Lam mean? Let's maybe spend today and maybe next halakha on what did this Alif Lam mean. This is quite unique in the Quran. It's, you could say in the ancient scripture, in the Old Testament, there is also حروف مقطعة, at least in the supposed to be divine name, which we discuss is YHWH or Yahweh or Yehovah, which nobody knows that how it is pronounced. Maybe it was pronounced like that, Y, Ya, Ha, Waw, Ya. Maybe it was pronounced like that with the appropriate names of the letter or pronunciation of the letters in Hebrew, which is similar to Arabic, but it's slightly different. Maybe that's why it was pronounced, which is just an abbreviation for something. Except that there is nowhere in the Old Testament and New Testament, as far as I know, I start to be corrected if someone of you know anything else. There's nothing like this Huruf Muqatta, which was really amazing and being discussed and disputed around for until now and maybe in the future, and more of their layers of their meaning, because they must have a meaning if the Quran is from Allah. But even if it's from Muhammad, there must be something motivating him to put these. What does he intend? Why? If he intended something, then most likely he would have told his companions plenty of that, and we have some narration. Amazingly, we have no narration about that, which means that either they didn't ask or they took it as a simple-minded open meaning, which most scholars say it is the straightforward simple meaning, is that Alif Lam Mim, from these letters, that book is constructed from these letters. It is not constructed from something magical or something transphysical or supernatural. It's from these letters you are using in your language, Alif Lam Mim, and they know the Alif Ba, the letters of the Arabic that are well known. They are obviously the Quran and the Northern Arabic is written in the style of Hira and Northern Arabic, not in the style of and the Khat and the writing of the Musnad of South Arabia by divine choice, because the Northern Arabic allows so many variations, so many nice things with punctuation and so on, which the Southern Arabic, which is written usually in separated letters called the Musnad, the old Yemeni Musnad or Sabai Musnad, is written in separate letters, similar to Hebrew. Hebrew standard is written in separated letters, not cannot be connected. While Arabic is usually written connected. You never write it separated, except for or the purposes or something like that. Even alif lam mim, is it an alif lam mim in connected? The lim is connected to the mim. So this is the standard Arabic writing of the north. So these are the letters. This is the your own, the letters of your own languages, and the Quran constructed from that. Words constructed from these letters, and sentences constructed from words. And this is the book from Allah. So come on and fashion something similar, which is obviously the challenges in the Quran mentioned in many places. This is the standard Quranic challenge. Like say, فَأْتُ بِعَشْرِ سُورِ مُفْتَرِيَاتِ فَأْتُ بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ. But the strongest phrasing of the challenge is in Surah Al-Isra. قُلْ, say Muhammad to them, لَئِنْ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَى يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَيَأْتُونَ مِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say Muhammad to them, if the humans and the jinn, which we don't know what the jinn are, the hidden entities who are, seems to be having some certain of rationality, if the humans and the jinn would collude together, work together, to produce something like the Quran, they will not be able to think similar to it, even if each one is supporting the other and advising and sitting. So imagine all jinns and in sitting, or at least the scholars and sophisticated guys under them sitting and trying to fashion something like the Quran, they will not be able, like the whole Quran in all its sentences. But also the challenge is to be surah to mithli, even the smallest surah. Not ayah, surah. The minimum is a surah. Meaning even surah al-kawthar. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli rabbika wanhar, inna shanika wal-abtar, is they will not be able to bring something like this one. In that number of words, with that plenty and full of meaning. And also issues of numerical coincidences and so on. All of these which had to be, some of it is detected, or some of it has to be detected still. So it is the zahir meaning, the apparent meaning is that this is the Quran, that's the Quran. It's constructed from these letters. And you are challenging to bring something. Go ahead, you have the letters. You are the people of the letters. You are the people of the Arabic language. You are people of eloquence. You are people of fasaha. But the whole Arabic culture before Islam is essentially a linguistic oral culture. Very little writing, barely any writing. Are in linguistic oral culture. So you must be skilled enough to be able to challenge the Quran if it is challengeable. And it's challenging in various places. But also the Quran says clearly, addressing the munafiqeen in Medina who pretend to be Muslim, or at least were staying as citizens in Medina, plotting and trying mischief and trying to cause problems and so on, addressing them, أَفَلَيْتَ دَبُرُهَا الْقُرْآنِ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِعِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوْجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Obviously, these munafiqin, well, they don't ponder about the Quran. So we have to ponder. So we have to ponder also about the meaning of these letters, if they have another meaning. And then we have the hadith we just mentioned, which encourages us to go in deeper layers. There may be some other layers about these huruf muqatta'a. They call it huruf muqatta'a, the cut-off letters or characters. So let's attend to that a little bit today, maybe, and also next time. So what do we have? Now, the Arabic alphabet is known. It can be ordered in various orders. One famous order that is barely used and nobody knows it, Khalil ibn Ahmed al-Farahidi, one of the founder of Arabic grammar and so on, co-founder or late founder, or let's contribute to Arabic and first dictionary, decided to order letters according from how deep the throat they come. So he started with the deepest, then ha, etc. If you go through it, then you recognize that he did a good job. So it is all, it is 28 letters in that order. Nobody bothered about that order, essentially. And he used that order to write his dictionary. And oddly, he referred everyone to its root, either triplet or quadruplet, and then he orders from the last letter instead of the first letter. It's a choice. You can order from the last letter or the first letter. It doesn't make any difference, but it's not the one which has become prevalent in the Islamic world and then later in Europe and so on. Dictionaries are usually organized by the starting with the first letter of the word, not with the last letter. But it's another way. And then most dictionaries will not go to roots because most people are not skilled in deducing the roots, especially in the Arabic language, from the original. So it has the full word, like for example, mustashfa, hospital. you will not go to Shifa, Shifa Alif, Shifa, 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 yeah. You will not go there. You go to literal imminent. It may be some dictionary will say, Mustashfa, explain the meaning. I say, it is derived from this root. I'll give you the root. Yeah, maybe. Or give you the root, and go to that root. That will be a bit clumsy. So most modern dictionaries go really by the full word, not by the root. So this is Ghalib al-Ahmad. Then we have the famous Tatib al-Shakli, which most of you have in the Quran, halaqa, in masjid as well. It is alif, ba, ta, ta, jim, ha, kha, dal, dal, etc. It's 28 letters. Well, there's the other order, which is called the Abjad Hawaz, Abajad, Abijad. Sometimes they call it in the classical literature, say dealing with Abijad is haram because it's related to witchcraft. Or this is essentially originally an Aramaic Jewish way of ordering. They call it logical ordering because they have, if you check in, there's a logical ordering just Google logical ordering and visual ordering of Hebrew alphabets, and you will get to the result. The visual is similar to Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha. So letters are according to appearances and with dots and so on, distinguishing them. And the logical is Abjad, Hawaz, A, B, C, D, Abjad. It's a logical, Abjad. So you know, it is usually compiled in a certain word, Abjad, Hawaz, Hubti, Kalamun, Sa'fas, Qarashad, Thakhad, Dhaghad. It's quite difficult to pronounce, but it's easier to memorize in form of words. It's also a 28. But interestingly, it seems to be many of the Quran analysts insisted that Alif and the Hamza is, because the Alif at the beginning, like if I say the word also, I must start with the Hamza, also. But after, in European languages, there is no Hamza inside the word, unless you cut the word with for example, you may construct a word of two words, and what the second one was, for example, trans international. If you stop trans international, then you have to write the Hamza. But this is usually done in European languages by, oh, there's no word like trans international, or like pan, it's a pan American, yeah, the famous company, Pan American. If it's in one word, you have to put a dash. So it's the reader was so Pan American. If you continue, say Pan-American, then there is no Hamza. But in Arabic, there's Hamza even in mid-words at the end. So I think they call it, the phonetic people call it glottal stop or something like that, maybe. So it seems to be the Hamza and the Alif are very much related. They acquire the same place, but they're two different letters. So it seems to be we have, besides the 28 letters of the alphabet, another letter is Hamza, which occupies the same place with the Alif. So if we assign numerical values to these things, it should be having the same numerical value. If we assign, for any reason, because the Abjad Hawaz is assigned numerical values, and the Jews were involved in the so-called Abjad, so-called Hisab al-Jummal, calculating things according to that, or dating things according to that, and so on. Some of it is used in Kabbalah and witchcraft and so on. And this is strictly, by the way, prohibited in the Old Testament. But nevertheless, they are using it because they said, Sulaiman was a magician, so magic is okay. So some of them say magic is okay because Sulaiman was a magician and he's a great man. And some say Sulaiman was a kafir and idol worshiper is not okay. So the Jews are split about that. But anyway, there's a prohibition of using these numerics to predict the future, things like that, because it's nonsense to predict. But it invites satanic aspects and things which we don't want to discuss. We'll come to Harut al-Marut down the road, inshallah, and address the issue of Sihr a little bit. Although it's a dark issue by itself, by its own nature. So you could argue that the letters are 28 or 29, but 28 positions. So we have 28 positions where Alif and Hamza take one position, at first one or whatever in the order you are using. There's other orders also. One of it is a living scholar, actually. He's like a hobbyist. He lives in New York and sells carpets, Abu Hashim. And it's a very interesting one based on Allama Adam Rasulullah Kullaha. He relies on the story of Adam in the Old Testament, which is questionable, but it doesn't matter. The final conclusion, he has certain order of the letters and a certain numerical values assigned, and the Alif and the Hamza occupy the same first place with the number 1,000. But we'll not get that today. because I have to get a nice picture and show you that this order, which could seem to be intriguing and having said application. So we have 28 letters or 29 letters. If we make the Hamza a separate letter, but occupies with the Alif the same. So we have 29 letters in 28 positions and assign to the Hamza and Alif the same numerical value if we were going to assign in any system, whatever, which is consistent and making sense. But this is a matter still of research. But definitely the Abjad Ha was in the Jewish way extended to the Arabic one with the further letter added to the end. That one is certainly not persuasive, and there's no good reason to believe that it should apply to the Quran or make much sense. But the other one which this Abu Hashim developed seemed to be having interesting and significant aspects, but more of that maybe in a separate story, in a separate halakha or a separate issue by itself. So which one is the correct one? Is it we have 29 letters in 28 positions, or do we have 28 letters only, and Hamza and Alif are the same letter? Actually, the Quran answered this question in an amazing way. Look at this ayah. The ayah number 29, by the way, it is ayah number 29 in all counts, the counts of which we are adopted, the counts of Qalun, Warsh, and Duri Abi Amr, and also the count of Hafs. It's ayah number 29. And notice that the last ayah in the surah of Surah Al-Fatih. What the ayah says? محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم ترهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره واستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. محمد is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are tough with the disbelievers, merciful to each other. You see them, tarahum, not they are in their reality. You see them, tarahum, ruk'an sujudan, bowing and performing sujood, wanting for the benefit of bounty of Allah and his best pleasure. In their faces, their signs, because the sujood, sign of the sujood. Some people say because of sujood will mark your forehead, and some people say sign of sujood, if you are a man of sujood, your face will show a certain light which the people of no sujood does not say, does not show. But for that you have to be having spirituality to see it. Their example in the Torah, and this is actually mentioned in the about in, I think in Isaiah, in the book Isaiah, is مثلا في التوراة, is that what has happened? That you see them and they sign in their faces, they are bowing, they are performing sujood and so on. The setting of the book of Isaiah, something like that, about the holies of the last days. The 10,000 will conquer the city, which seems to be alluding to the conquest of Mecca by Muhammad and the 10,000 with him at that day. But that's another issue. We don't want to indulge in that today. And the example in the gospel, in the Injil, كزرع أخرج شطأه فأزره واستغلظ واستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع. It's like a plant which produced plenty of twigs and branches and became thick, strong, well established, and come up. So it will be pleasing for the farmers. And Allah said, and he will make them to make the kuffar be upset and feeling unhappy because of this plant which is firm, and they are unable to unroot that plant. And then Allah, in an interesting point, I would to address that just in a couple of sentences. Allah promised that those who are believer and making good deeds, from them, maghfirat wa ajr azim. But this is a very interesting point, because this ayah is usually said by many so-called Salafi and al-Hadith, that it shows that all the Sahaba are udul and are trustworthy, etc. So, but that's what not Allah is saying. He say Allah promised those who are true believer and those who perform good deeds from them, minimum, not all of them, even if they appear to be sujood and ruku' and appear to have these signs externally, like the munafiqin in Medina, they are not real believers, amilu salihat. But only those, minhum, from them, they are promised maghfirat wa ajran azima. So this is not as an exoneration of all the Sahaba or all the people in Medina, which has technically a Sahaba and with the Prophet. Apparently, if you come to Medina, you see with them Abdullah ibn Abi Salul was usually in the masjid present. And he used after Jum'ah, at least in the early years, to stand up and praise the Prophet and ask the people to support him, like political campaigning, because he was a politician. He's a man of politics, playing political games. So if you see him, you think he's one of the companions, he belongs to Muhammad. In reality, he's not, because he did not believe and did not do good deeds. But those who believed, genuinely believed, Allah knows who is a believer, and did good deeds, they are promised from Allah, maghfiratan wa ajran azim. Only those. Not so just a side remark, if someone come with this, look, this is honoration of the Sahaba, it is not. It is only for the sincere one who are believer. And who are the sincere one who are believer, that has to be found from other evidences. Anyway, we'll go back to it. So what has this ayah to do with our letters? What's the issue in this ayah? I don't have... those of you who know how to deal with Arabic letters and so on should go to that. This is the only ayah in the Quran which has all 29 letters. The only ayah. There's no ayah in the Quran. All of the 29 letters are in one ayah. All letters are there. Not only 28, 29. The Hamza is also different. So in Aman, what is written in the Mushaf, the Hamza on the line, the Alif after that. Not the usual writing with Alif with the wavy things on the top. That's not a good writing. But it's not a Mushaf writing. Although you find it often written this way, that's not a correct writing. Correct is Amanu, Hamza, Alif. And then Mim, Nun, Waw, Ali. And the Alif at the end is not, it's a silent, it's just a sign of plural. So all, so and also the Alif in all, even a silent Alif is there. Everything is there. And the only ayah which has all her. If you check all the Quran, you will not find an ayah which has all letters, all 28 or 29. That it is 29, that Hamza should be counted separately, is hinted by the number of the ayah in the surah. It is number 29. In all counts, not only the counts which say that what we adopted as the superior count, but also in the dissenting count of Hafs, which cannot be discounted completely. When you say the whole ayahs of the Quran, the total numbers and so on, the correct one is in Qalun, Warsh and Duri Abu Amr, and the evidences we discussed that this have been preserved from two different readers and three different narrators, Qalun, Warsh, preserved since hundreds of years or over 1,000 years in these places in northern Africa, in the far west of Africa, and also in Sudan. But the preservation of the Kufi reading according to Hafs must have, Allah allowed that to happen, must have a certain significance. It is like a contrasting and possibly correcting in certain details. So it should not be completely discounted. It's possibly a valid and inferior way of counting, but it may have a superiority in certain surah. Like, for example, I'll give an example quickly now. In this count, which we adopted as master count, the Surah Al-Alaq, which is the first surah in the Quran, is 20 ayahs. While in the count of Hafs, it is 19, which is interesting to synchronize with the number 19 its nature. Now, if we want to go and say, okay, the count of Hafs hints us that the count of these three is not correct for this surah. It must be 19. Okay, then we have obviously to find another surah which we increase by one, so the total number which we have been fixed as the valid one is preserved, and this has to be done in a consistent and justifiable way. But as I said, the Hafs reading is the inferior one, both in matter of pronunciation and counting of ayah, but does not mean that all of its in this total aspects, but not necessarily that in every surah there may be superior for some other reasons or other consideration. But it has to be done in a consistent way. But this is an issue really for those to so study the miraculous nature of the Quran. But in this surah, it is this ayah is number 29 in all schools of reading and all narrations. It is the ayah number 29. So ayah number 29, having all 29's letters and the hamza separated and the alif in all possible positions as madda, as a beginning, and also as a silent alif in like in amanu at the end to indicate the plural. So this should not be this cannot be just purely coincidental. There's something interesting there, worth looking at. It cannot be just arbitrarily and without any deeper sense. It has to be further analyzed. Now, so that's the number. As I said, the other order with the numeric values by Abu Hashim in New York, I could not. I once had it in form of a table, but I somehow misplaced it. I will try to get inshallah for next time and show you on the screen, and also send it by email. That's an interesting one because it was deduced based on the Quran, although he has some input from the stories of the Old Testament, which I think are questionable, but this is no relevance. It's, the relevance is the real input and the real order is based on the huruf al-muqatta'a, alif, lam, mim, etc. So what is this? Again, interestingly, this huruf al-muqatta'a appear in 29 positions in surahs in Quran, 29. And in 30 words of the Quran. Let us just go through it. Alif Lam Mim, this is the one of Baqarah. Alif Lam Mim, Ali Imran, then Alif Lam Mim, Al-Araf. Alif Lam Ra, Alif Lam Ra, Alif Lam Ra, Alif Lam Mim Ra, Al-Ra'd, Alif Lam Ra, Alif Lam Ra. Then Kaf Ha Ya Ayn Sad, this is for Maryam. Then we have Taha, Taha, Taasim Mim, Taasim, Taasim Mim, Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim, ila akhiri, until noon. If you count them, the positions, or the number of surahs is 29 surahs. Again, interesting, the number 29 is appearing, which is a prime number, which is the number of the letters. That's number one. This is, does not appear to be a coincidence, it's to be intended. And we see the following. It is fashioned in 29 surahs, but in 30 words. Why 30 words? Because in one odd surah, the surah, it is having two words, not only one. Hamim, Ain, Siqab. So in that position, we have two words. So after that, if we count the words, so if we count, so for example, let me first go to quickly counting the words. You notice that, for example, Yasin, famous surah Yasin, which is named according to Yasin, doesn't have another name. Interestingly, it is the in the position number 19, and it is the word number 19 also. Also, the total number of the letter Ya and Sin in the surah is 285. That's 19 times 15. 19 again. Again, strengthening that this is not arbitrary. This is intended. This is fashioned by a super intelligence, by supreme intelligence. If we continue, we find after Hamim Ain Siqaf, which made the position number different than the word numbers, because up to Hamim, before Hamim, Ain, Sin, Qaf, the position number is the same like the word numbers. Now, Hamim, Ain, Sin, Qaf seems to be have messed up that by now having two words. And then from on after that, if we count by words, we find that Qaf, for example, Qaf comes the one before last. Qaf is having the following feature, Surah Qaf, starting with the letter Qaf. It is in word count is 29. But it's in the position 28 because Hamim Ain Sin Qaf added one in the count of words, but did not add anything because it's one position in the count of position. So it is, so Qaf is in the position 28, but it's the letter number 29 or the word number 29. And interestingly, the number of the letters Qaf, Qaf letter inside the surah Qaf, that's the first one which Rashad Khalifa announced as a great finding, which is correct finding, is 57, that's 19 times 3. And the amazing point for that is that this could not have been like that if Allah used for the people of Qawm Lut, the people of Lut, the usual phrase of the Quran, Qawm Lut. Everywhere in the Quran, we speak the people to whom Lut was sent, the Sodom and Gomorrah, the people who were committing the abomination. All the Quran used the word Qawm Lut. Go to his people. He sent with him his people. He's, as we know from the Old Testament, is not his own people. He was really living with them because he's originally came with Abraham from Iraq. So he's not his own people genealogically or tribal wise, but his people living with them. Qawm Lut. But in this surah, if the word Qawm Lut was have been used for the people of Lut, the count of the qafs would have been messed up. It would not have been a multiple of 19. But the Quran used there, singularly, in only one place in the Quran alone, it is used ikhwan ul-wut, the brothers of Lut, avoiding the little qaf. So this is deliberate. Now, ikhwan means the brothers. The Arabs used, for example, to address someone from a tribe, brother of Tamim. Meaning the one belonging to Tamim. Said it's legitimate to say the one belonging to a people, to call him the brothers of these people, because he's one of them. It's not necessarily genealogical, maybe one of them by alliance, by allegiance, by living there and being having their citizenship or the residency in that sense. So that does not mean ikhwan in matter of brotherhood in belief or the opposite, they are his enemies. But ikhwan in that sense. So only here in the Quran we have ikhwan Lut, only, nowhere in the Quran, everywhere qawm Lut, except here. And this is clearly deliberate, because if the qawm Lut would have been used here, it would have spoiled the count of. So this is quite amazing, quite really shocking. Now let's go back to the alif lam mim, huruf muqatta'a. Beside the general simple-minded meaning, which seemed to be most scholars agree to, that this is hinting to the Arabs that this is, these are your own letters, this is your own language, and the Quran is fashioned from that. It's not fashioned from a miraculous material. It's not made out of gold or silver. It's made of alif, lam, mim, sad, these letters. So if we put them in the order of the Quran, it's alif, lam, mim, alif, lam, alif, mim, sad, as we said, these are essentially, as we said, 28 positions, also 29 surahs or positions, and 30 words. Now the letters used are, if we go start from the beginning of the Quran, start with alif, lam, mim, alif, lam, mim, then we have sad, alif, lam, mim, sad, so we add the sad, because alif, lam, mim has already been added, ra, alif, lam, ra, then alif, lam, mim, ra, already done, all is gone, then we go all the way until we reach kaf, kaf, ha, ya, and sa, then we add the kaf and the ha, and the ya and the ain, the sad already gone, and then we taha ta, the ha is already gone, then seen fi ta seen meme, etc. It will be exactly 14 letters only, not the full load of 28 or 29, essentially half. Assuming that the alif at the beginning is both the hamza or the alif, depending upon what we assume, it's 14 or 15. Interestingly, they could be arranged. These are 14 letters. They could be arranged. How many arrangement possible arrangements for those? Who the mathematician under you will be most likely thinking how many possibilities to arrange them. I calculated that, because what you have to do is do all permutation. All permutation is n factorial, 14 factorial, 14 times 13 times 12 times 11. Then it's until all the way to times 1. I calculated that. By the calculator, obviously, it is 87 billions, 178 millions, 291,000, and 200 exactly possibilities. What's the purpose of various arrangements? Is to find if maybe some arrangement will bring some reasonable sentence or something interesting. In reality, scholars in time past already have. I don't know how they did that, but they did it. Because clearly they could not have gone the sort of the brute force way by putting all the 87 plus billion and checking them one by one. Nobody would be able to do that. Maybe now with the computer age it can be done, but not. And then obviously put certain separation and subdivide it, because all subdivision is important. They came with three interesting words without any repetition, by the way, just the letters rearranged only, producing at least three interesting sentences with a good and interesting meaning. For example, the first one is Nassun Hakim Lahu Sirrun Qati, a wise text who has a definite secret. This is a very, this is a sentence of considerable meaning. Nassun Hakim Lahu Sirrun Qati, a wise text which has definite or cutting secret. Another one is Sirat ala haqqin numsikuhu. Sirat, a way on the truth, we hold to it. It's also a very nice sentence. It makes good sense. But for that, we have to recognize that Allah is written in the Quran, written Arabic with Ya at the end. Always Allah is Alif, actually, but as we said, is the writing which is dominant. So the Ya without the Ya Maqsura and the Ya the full Ya and the Ya Maqsura are the same. It is the Ya. It is one Ya. There's no two Ya in Arabic. Arabic, even if it is maqsura and it is written and pronounced like alif, it's still a ya. So this dictates that we whatever is written as a ya must be counted as a ya, even if it's being pronounced like alif. Now do the like in the other word ala, above. We are above it, away, which obey of truth, which are linked to it. And the third one, so this is again hint. If that's intended, if the Quran is from Allah, we can surely conclude this is intended, and this hint is also intended. So this gives us a hint how to read the ya the maqsura and the ya al haqiqiyya. Both ya's are treated as the same ya, even if the pronunciation is different, not a ya. And the third one is صح طريقك مع السنة. Your way is right with the sunnah, along the sunnah, which is also very interesting. Sunnah. صح طريقك مع السنة. Very nice sentence also. But this dictates also that in we have a sunnah at the end. A sunnah is written usually with ta marbuta, pronounced if you stop there at ha. So the rule must be then dictated by this, that whatever is written as a ha is must be counted as ha, even if it is ta marbuta, and in the case of continuation it's a ta, but it's a ha. So even what they call it ta marbuta is actually a ha and must be counted as ha in the Quran. So this also gives us hints and a way to treatment of certain controversial letters depending upon their position in the word. It clarifies this. Are there any useful sentences? Allahu alam. Because from 87 billions, there may be other useful sentences, interesting information. But who will have the time and the life? The best thing would be to have a computer program and then some kind of artificial intelligence which try for every combination. See if you can cut, like for example, the two letters at the beginning, one letter, two letters, three letters, and so on. The moment that the first two or three are nonsensical, do not make any sense, like Nas Hakim, Nas, for example, or Sirat, or something like that, then it is checked. So you don't need to check all these, but you start with the first one. If it makes any sense, the first two or three letters, because the first two letters could be like, for example, Thumma, could be, there's no tab there. But so it is feasible. With a good computer program, which will write down all the permutation in a file, and then an artificial intelligence program, which will go through them and find something which looks like a reasonable sentence referring to an Arabic dictionary. I think it's feasible, but it's not really the simplest of programming, but it's programmable. And clearly, this is impossible for any people even 30 years back. It's just out of question. This is impossible. And we may find another sentences which give us further hints about how to do and deal with the Quran. So that's about al-muqatta. So that's one, let's say, if we go, that's one batin of Alif Lam Mim is not only, and all the other sisters of Alif Lam Mim in the Quran is where that says Alif Lam Mim is not only that this is, these are letters that what you are Arab using in your language and you are unable to compose anything similar to the Quran, although you have the letters and you have the words, you have the material, go ahead, you have the raw material, just fashion whatever you can. They could not, and they were challenged not, and the Quran affirms they will never be able. And even jinn and ins, not only the Arabs, if they come together to make any significant of that, they will not be able to do something similar to the Quran, even if they're supporting each other. And this is excluded until Yawm al-Qiyamah, until ever, because it needs divine power to have all these controls. There's no way you are going to achieve that except with supernatural divine power, one who is completely control of the language. Possibly even some of that had been initiated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the development of the Arabic language before, so directed the language to develop and also the writing to develop in that direction, so it be like that. So it is influencing the development behind the veil through cause and effect, which nobody can see. because the whole world and the whole universe is a testing universe. Otherwise, Allah will become very apparent and the Iman will become compulsory. Not an act of will, but that's not what Allah showed the universe to be. هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيحسن. He created life and death, so he can test you who does better than the other. And the testing requires that you have to be able to look behind the veil. But we'll come when we come to about the features of the believer, that they believe in the unseen, believe that's what behind the veil, not the just immediate material cause and effect, but what is behind that, al-ghayb. But we'll come to that, inshallah, next week. I think that's enough for today. So let's hold from that we have evidence in the Quran, what's the number of letters. We have one ayah in the Quran which has all the letters, the 28, 29, depending upon if you count the Hamza, it contains all of them. And we have certain interesting features about the Ruh Muqatta'a as ordered by the order of the Quran. And we found a very interesting and intriguing result for Yasin, which supports also the people inclination, and the hadith that Yasin is the heart or the core of the Quran. That's one of the aspects of the core of the Quran, not only in the meaning but also other aspects which are hinted. They said Yasin qalb al Quran, Yasin the core or the heart of the Quran. And let me repeat it again, just so you keep that in our mind. It is Yasin. It is the 19th word in this order, as ordered the Quran, and it's also the 19th position because there was no Haymi Ma'in Sinqar that comes later, which makes a difference between position and words. And amazingly, the letters here and seen in that surah are 285, that's 19 times 15. So a multiple of 19. So the 19. The number 19, the significance of that is reinforced here in multiple way. The position of the Surah Yasin in the surahs were Huruf Muqatta, the position in the wording, and also the numbers of the Ya and Sin inside the surah. It's amazing. And the same applies with Qaf. Qaf is the 29th word and in the position 28. So again, indicating the interesting relation between 29 and 28. 29 letters with the Hamza or 28 without the Hamza. And again, the letter Qaf in that surah is coming 3 times 19, so a multiple of 19. And it could not have been possibly happening there without the substitution of the word Ikhwanul Lut instead of Qawm Lut. Otherwise, the numbering would have been spoiled. But this is only place in the Quran it has been substituted this way, which is quite amazing and almost shocking. So I think we stop here for today. That's enough for today. And we'll be, inshallah, continuing next week with a little bit more about the Huruf al-Muqatta'ah and issues related to them. And then we'll continue with the ayats, inshallah. Any question?
Not today, Sheikh. None from last week either.
Right. Ala barakatullah. So we'll close down?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah.
Shazakallah, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. I will stop the recording.